Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall, and I'm here with my two guys, Robbie and Mike, to talk some sneakers tonight. Guys, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on? This is Mike Gillery here, ready to get going on some sneaker talk tonight. What's up, Robbie?
I'm good. Apparently, I'm not out of it. Feeling it this night. Ready to talk some sneakers.
So as we like to do before we get into it, I just want to shout out Rev Fresh to Death for leaving us a review on iTunes. We appreciate all you guys giving us feedback, whether that's through a review on iTunes, which really helps us get in front of more people, or comments on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to connect with us. But we just appreciate the feedback so we can keep improving and keep making this show a little bit better for you each and every time. That said, this week we got a lot of stuff, so we're just going to jump right into it. And I think I personally just want to start out with the Ace Ventura Ewings from Mosh Customs. And I think it's really dope. Dan has been putting in work for a long time to get to the point of getting his own collaboration that wasn't just a custom, is actually a legit produced shoe. And, you know, he's done custom work for so many brands. We were talking before the show started. It's almost, I mean, even if you take the cleats out of it, because he's done tons of amazing cleats for players in Major League Baseball, players in the NFL. He's also done a ton of basketball shoes. He's done a ton of shoes for wrestlers. I mean, this guy has really, like, been hustling for a long time.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. It's so cool to see him finally get a shot to have like a mass produced shoe. I'm personally not a huge fan of the Ewing line, but nevertheless, this guy has been putting the work in for so long that it's so cool that he's able to see his work kind of come full circle. It's like, hey, this is being sold out of like the brand itself. This is what I did. This is what I designed. Show it to the world. So I think it's awesome.
It's so cool because I think like my earliest like memory of him or like his introduction to his work was like the LeBron Iron Man he did way back in the day. And then like some, it's kind of corny now, but the wedding customs Jordans, you know, like a Concord or something wedding-y, past two pair of Jordans. I remember him doing that. But it's just so interesting to see how it kind of comes back around to some brands. Because a lot of brands didn't want him customizing their shoes because, you know, it's their product. They don't want their swoosh or their trefoil like messed up. And now he's gotten so credited where brands seek him, and he's now so coveted that he has his own legitimate.
Yeah, so I think it's super dope too, and it speaks to, you know, following up with what Robbie said, it speaks to his popularity. I don't know how many followers he has now, but he has a huge fan base of his own, and I tried to get on the Ewing site a little late, but my size was gone anyway, which just speaks to like how popular his stuff is. And I think, you know, he was doing this stuff. You know, it's not like he's the first person to customize sneakers, but he was doing this like next level type stuff pretty early on before the sneaker world had really embraced customized sneakers. And now you've got, you know, guys like the Shoe Surgeon Dominic doing, you know, like actual builds for the brands and stuff like that, where it's like full on reconstruction of a shoe, which blows my mind. Never would have thought that this kind of stuff would be going on. But, you know, I think Mosh has a very, it's been really dope to see him kind of own the lanes of it that he owns. And not to say that other guys can't get their work in there and get out there, but he's done such a great job of like relationships with people, working with the leagues, working with, you know, even other customizers, working with the sneaker cons of the world to like really establish himself as one of the top guys in that space. And I just think it's, you know, super dope to see him get that opportunity with Ewing. What, Mike, what was one of the, we were going to talk about the Presto, right?
Yeah. Just kind of resurgence of the Presto in the new React form. If I'm not mistaken, the first colorway, the Brutal Honey, comes out tomorrow. Or either Saturday. Tomorrow, Saturday. I can't remember exact day. Sorry, guys. But, yeah, but this weekend we're going to see another version of Presto. And it's actually, heck, in my opinion, it's a really good design, really good mock-up. And for $120, you can't beat that, man. So this might be the shoe that could get people back into those type of runners, since Ultra Boost have, I don't know, people may not be feeling those as much anymore just because of, you know, the lack of change, or then now they had done a super radical change that's more of a athletic shoe than a lifestyle shoe. So personally, I love the bright colors they're doing on these with the characters. But this one's the Brutal Honey. They have this cool lava lamp inspired one than another. They call it, I think, the Rabbit Panda. So they have some really creative minds behind this one, looks like, and it's really cool marketing. So I think this is definitely worth the purchase, or at least worth the try on. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm really digging on the kind of plays on the original colorways, like Brutal Honey and Rabbit Panda amongst, like, I think it was 12 or 8 of them. Nick, do you remember how many there were? OGs?
I don't remember, but I definitely recognize those two colorways.
Right. There's a lot of them, though. So yeah. It's cool how the Presto, upon its entry, was such a change of pace for footwear that it continues to reinvent itself almost every 5 years. Like, he had the utility, the Flyknit Mid Presto, yep, like 2 years ago. And I know you've seen like tons of variations of them. So it's just, it's cool how they kind of keep the spirit of the original, but make it something completely new. Like, nobody's going to mistake these with the normal pair of Prestos. They can get the inspiration, but they're different enough to where it's like distinguishable.
I was just looking at this article too. According to Sneaker News, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks like Brutal Honey, Rabbit Panda, Unholy Cumulus, Rogue Kielbasa, Shady Milkman. So there's 5 of them from the originals, and they're going to have them on Nike by You, which used to be Nike ID. And then Nike's going to introduce new characters, the Psychedelic Lava, which is part of the ones that we were talking about, Witness Protection, Breezy Thursday, and Chatty Matador on May 16th. So pretty dope.
I love the names.
Yeah, I love the names. I love that they're putting together like all the content that connects the dots for everybody too, because it gives you something a little more to be excited about rather than, hey, seen that colorway before, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like hearing you say those, we're like, Nick's saying that wrong, right? But those are not made up.
Yep.
It's like Wu-Tang, like your Wu-Tang name builder.
Yeah,
Like that, it's just to make those Prestos.
Yeah. By the way, Childish Gambino came from the Wu-Tang generator, and I still remember my Wu-Tang generator is Midnight Warlock. If I'm ever going to be a rapper, then you'll know to look me up under Midnight Warlock.
Well, good.
Fun fact is that because I was such a, well, still am, huge fan of Gambino in college, that's where I came up with my Instagram and my Twitter handle. So Mad Watcher came from Wu-Tang generator. Yeah.
Man, so to all our listeners out there, go to, you know, Google Wu-Tang Clan name generator and leave us a comment on the podcast with what your name is, or on Twitter, or wherever you want to.
Yeah, I would love to see. That would be super dope. Honestly, if you do it on Twitter, I would love to just be able to put together like a whole list of crazy Wu-Tang name generator names. So we'll throw it out when this episode goes live and just throw your Wu-Tang generated name underneath. That would be so dope to see it all. Because I mean, man, when I first came across that thing, I was like, I wonder what my brother's name is. I wonder what my mom's name is. Like, I was going through everybody like, who's got the coolest name?
Yeah, I love that thing. It was so fun.
Yeah. But so moving on, we were going to talk a little bit about I don't want to put my opinion out there too hardly, but we'll just call it the eyesore that is the Jordan Supreme 14. I mean, I'm assuming those are like Swarovski crystals, since that's what the last box logo drops were. No, no. Yeah.
They're like piercing. Someone
yeah. They're like a knockoff version of it.
Old went into Hot Topic, was like, give me all your eyeliner and all your and cater gym stuff you have.
I just don't understand it. I think it's more of my irritation is I don't understand it. So I won't ever buy them because they're not appealing to me at all, but maybe I would be more willing to listen if someone told me why.
Yeah. I mean, so This is kind of something that I've always had an issue with, the way that sneaker news and not sneaker news, the site, but just sneaker information in general kind of comes out, is like you have all of these people that just post things, you know, without any context or with a terrible photo because they got like an early sneak peek at it and it's like the shoe's still in the box, that kind of thing. And to me, that ends up hurting everything about it, right? Like, Not that the story behind the 14s could convince me that I need them, but at least if it's presented in a way that's like gives the brand a chance, I think that's one thing that I take away from, you know, this whole kind of early image leaked stuff that continues to happen. But
yeah, may not buy it, but at least you understand it. That's my whole thing. Like, let me understand it. Don't give me the worst picture possible, because all you're doing is asking for just the worst kind of reaction when you see this.
That's so true. And like, so I have a buddy, John, who's a journalist up in Toronto. He's a big sneakerhead. He writes, and he just wrote a really good story last week. I'll send it out to everybody, but it's literally titled "Don't Believe Everything You See on Sneaker Media." And he got kind of salty in a loving way. I'm not mean that in the back. About how everything was leaking about the Bred Ones releasing with kind of distorted or aged midsole. And he's like, man, how are we reporting this already? Like, nobody even knows really where this came from. And it kind of plays into that, kind of what we were just touching on of, you know, not still in the box, like this super sketch. And if it makes it onto one page, it gets retweeted and then picked up by another place because we all want that clickbait.
Yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yep. What's crazy that too works, is man. Like, if you look at, to me, like Supreme is so, obviously they've done collabs with Jordan Brand, but they're so far from like what Jordan Brand and even what Nike is as a company. I mean, there are certain, you know, internal teams at Nike that fit that Supreme kind of mentality, right? Like the SB team is very rebellious compared to like the status quo of traditional Nike business, traditional Nike like marketing, that kind of stuff. But what I think is really interesting about this kind of high level collaboration where Supreme gets access to a shoe like the 14, I wonder if there's any conversation about, hey, maybe we shouldn't be so disrespectful of it, or maybe we should do something a little more tasteful, or if they just have freedom to do whatever they want. You know, I understand both sides of that, because at the end of the day, it's a business. And, you know, if Nike says no, then, you know, you want to do the collaboration, is going to help both sides, right? But if it's,
correct,
if it's, you know, I think of like, if I had a, let's say I have a Ferrari and I want to have like a, do a collab with, you know, a graffiti artist. Am I just going to like let somebody freely do whatever they want to my car? Or am I going to be like, let me just throw like a blank wrap down first, so that way you don't mess it up too bad. And then I can have my car back if you really try to screw me over. And like, that's kind of the way I look at this collab, when I'm just like, I can't imagine either side of it being like, yeah, this is hot. You know, that's how bad I feel like this one is. But that said, I am curious about the story. If there's a cool story behind it, then, you know, maybe I'll feel a little bit differently about it. Probably not enough to want to buy it, but I'm also just not like a huge Supreme fan like that. So
yeah.
But
it's, I can hear like your blood boiling a little bit talking about the cars. Subject right there. But you could have put a story behind that. Like, the only thing I could see, which they're not going to do, is if they did like a Sid Vicious story, or like a punk rock angle on it. But that's like either explicitly Supreme or in the slightest bit Jordan. So I can't see them being able to put any type of marketing or, and there's nothing they can do to make that shoe look any different in my eyes, which is this rush. Well, is it rush? Like, that's the thing. You don't know.
Yeah.
It's been working on that thing just past year. And it's like, I don't know. It's a hard pass, like the hardest of paths, like a Jason Williams elbow pass.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point though about the Sid Vicious and the punk rock stuff, because that's very much Supreme, right? That's very much skateboarding. Like, I mean, I think a lot of that is intertwined for a long time. And, you know, to be fair, if the shoe came out in an all black version, looking with those like studs or whatever they are through the side of it, that's a little bit different than the white, right?
Yeah.
The white seems like out of place, but if there's context behind it, that it is like a Sid Vicious thing or some, you know, some sort of like, you know, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah. CBGB or whatever, like any of those like New York kind of like, you know, punk rock scene type stories that could be there, it would make a little bit more sense, but I don't know, man.
It's supposed to be colorways. Supposed to be a black logo.
God.
Yeah.
They operate in triplets normally. So
yeah, it's going to be a red one, a black one, and a white one. That's how it goes most cases.
But, yeah, like, white's the first one we've seen. If they put that on camo, that might be gaudy enough to work. Like, camouflage plus studding, like, well, some, like, weird Rambo stuff going on. Who knows?
So, it may be a callback to another Supreme collab with Pelly Pelly. I'm looking at, well, yeah, they did say Supreme did a jacket with Pelly Pelly back in 2016 with the same stud all over the Supreme branding and the American flag on there. I guess it was something that was real big with Dipset. So that's the rumor that this could be a callback to that. But again, there's still all speculation because no one got the facts before they threw this picture out and showed us this Frankenstein of a shoe.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It's I don't know. We'll see. But I honestly haven't seen anybody on social media that actually likes it. So that's kind of weird to me. But usually you have at least a handful of people that are like the like something, you know? But I don't know. Did you guys see anybody that was into it?
No.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Nice Kicks right now, sort of they had kind of the Pelly Pelly speculation, but the last line of the article is like, maybe PJ Tucker will play in these in the playoffs. That may be the only person we've seen wearing these.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, speaking of PJ, I'm loving those Trophy Room 5s, like the two colorways. Those are okay in my book. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too hard, but I'm currently making that Winnie the Pooh meme face where it's just like the three different, like Air Jordan 5, good. Trophy Room, Trophy Room Air Jordan 5,
Oh, you need to make that, throw it up on a page later.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Like, because the 17s No, there are 16s. No, yeah, there are 16. 16s didn't speak to me. I don't even know what other trophy room there is. But
there's
like
a few of them.
Yeah. Those are definitely the best looking, but I digress. let go.
Yeah, I don't know. Trophy room. They've grown on me after seeing PJ wear them, but I don't know if they're for me.
I would never wear them. If I want that color, I'm going to go after LeBron 3 Oiler colorway. I'd be honest.
I like that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's just, so I'm a big Duke fan. So like UNC powder blue, I will not wear anything. Some red in it and it's okay. Like I will.
Justifiable at that point.
Yeah. It's like, it's not UNC anymore. Like all those UNC ones, I'm like, get that trash out of here, man. Like any of that. But the Oiler colorways, I'm always down for a nice Houston Oiler.
Yeah, I like that too. But speaking of shoes you won't wear, we're gonna jump into the main topic, and it was basically, a lot of you are probably familiar with Matt Powell. He's an analyst that works in the footwear business, basically providing data to retailers, to brands, and he's been a polarizing type of guy over the years. He's obviously, a little bit older than what I would consider like the typical sneakerhead age range. And he gets a lot of flack for that, but his perspective on things is very by the book, business-like. And he works for a company called NPD, and he's released his quarter one sales numbers, so to speak. And I'm just going to run through the top 10 selling sneakers for quarter one based on dollar amount. And I don't know what particular order this is. I'm assuming highest to lowest on the list, but the Jordan 6, assuming that's the infrared colorway, the Nike Air Max 270, Nike Tangent, Jordan 6 rings, Jordan 9 Thank mid, you. Which I assume is the Carolina colorway that dropped February-ish, Nike Air Force 1 low, Vans Ward, Adidas NMD R1, Chuck Taylor Oxlow, and the Nike Air Huarache. Huarache spelled with a typo. Shout out to my fellow editors out there.
You've been called out.
So, well, I mean, Matt, if you ever hear this podcast, just tell me why I'm blocked on Twitter. That's all I really want to know, because we've had great conversations over the years. We've both been in this business a very long time. You obviously a little bit longer than me, but still we've had great conversations. So I don't know what happened, but as we talked about earlier, he kind of blocks just about anybody that doesn't agree with his perspective. So, and that's fair. I don't hate him for that. I think like social media is tough enough as it is when you get people arguing with you about dumb stuff. But, so I don't know. It's my first thought. Actually, I'm going to let you guys jump into it first. What do you think about that list?
It doesn't surprise me that much. The only thing that surprises me in the list is going to be the Jordan 9. Like we were talking earlier, I didn't realize that people were scooping up Jordan 9 like that. I didn't realize there were enough colorways to make up the difference for these other shoes. So, the rest of these, like we talked about before, the shoes that we buy don't move the needle. It is the Tangent, it's the 270s, it's the Vans, it's the Chuck Taylors. Those move the needle. The Huaraches, these are shoes you see everywhere, not just in specialty stores. So this doesn't surprise me whatsoever. But my question is, with resale sites being at such a, basically selling sneakers at such a high clip now, is that disrupting what the actual sales are for the market? Or is that counted some kind of way? So I wonder if you guys may know that or not.
I mean, he's not going to include that in his reports because he's only reporting on like the traditional market. But this is not to pick on any of the secondary market resale platforms, but this is my biggest concern with the footwear business, because I'm never going to not be involved in the footwear business. I'm too ingrained in it. I have too many friends working in it. Like, I just love doing projects, working on cool shit in the sneaker world, right? And
yeah,
the one thing that's scary to me is the nature of, let's say, a, you know, pick your platform, right? StockX, GOAT, eBay, you know, Flight Club, Stadium Goods, wherever you want to like look at the secondary market sales, the numbers, by the time those platforms take their cut and you factor in shipping and all the extra costs or whatever that are involved, the, you know, the, what is it, 9-10% plus a, you know, transaction fee of 3%, 2%, whatever.
Yeah. Like 12,
so if you look at like, I'm totally assuming, I haven't looked, but like if you look at StockX right now, I'm almost positive that the black cement bread fours, whatever you want to call them, is going to be at a price that is basically equal to retail if you took out StockX's fees and the processing fees. Almost all shoes end up very close to that. Although you look at StockX and you see 250 or 245 or whatever that price is, and you think, oh, it retails for 200, but 200 plus tax plus shipping, like, you know, I got a pair and it cost me, you know, 220 something out the door to, or, you know, shipped to me. If I went to StockX or GOAT or wherever, and I see that 250 price, a lot of people, I think, don't think about all of the fees and all that stuff. Like, if you're new to the secondary resale market, you're not thinking about all of those little things. And really, the prices are no different than retail, in my opinion. Maybe like $5 to $10 like, or something. But
in day to day, week to week releases, you're 1,000% right. It's 1,000,000.
Yeah, and I think you can wait it out for a lot of things, right? But then you also have the, you know, the restock stuff. Nike just dropped what was that sneakers pass stuff? Like, there was all sorts of Jordans on
Concord, Concord
sixes.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that just like, everything that came out the first quarter, basically.
Yeah, so to your point, Mike, I think that, you know, this is separate from that, but it is important for people to like kind of look at the bigger picture, where maybe 5 years ago, let's pick 2012, right? The last time the black cement fours came out. No Nike Air on the back, but a Jumpman. Those shoes sold incredibly well. Like, I was lucky enough to get a handful of pairs for myself. Like, that's one of my favorite shoes. Like, I can't say no to that shoe almost at any cost. It's like almost an addiction. But those shoes were reselling before these platforms existed for a significant amount of money. A lot of people were sitting on them, you know, like, or taking them to Flight Club or whatever. Like, there was no Stadium Goods back then. It was literally Flight Club's about the only option, or eBay.
Yeah.
And now you have this kind of, you know, like, I think that the new version is more desirable for a lot of people. So Jordan Brand can produce a lot more. So that is going to obviously grow and drive down the price of the secondary market. But I think that what happens is, instead of, let's say, you know, Nike having a bunch in stock, or, you know, random sellers on eBay having a bunch sitting in their, on their shelves or in their closets or wherever they're doing their business, now you just have a ton of individuals holding that stock in between the release date and, you know, the kind of like uptick that naturally comes, say, 2-4 months down the road after the shoe is kind of off of the hot market, but like the prices can go up a little bit because there's fewer people looking for it. So the people are looking to make more money off of it. That's at least my theory on it. I don't know.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to get back to like the, you know, list, I was thinking, like, Robbie, you pointed out something before we started talking that I thought was interesting, like, that made me start thinking, like, you know, the Chuck Taylor Oxlow, right? Super basic, you know, $20, $30, $40, probably $40 or $50 at retail, I'm assuming, right? But this is a shoe that's probably at, like, DSW, Target. I mean, Target doesn't do that. They used to do
Famous Footwear.
Yeah, Famous Footwear. Yeah. Those, like, we're not going to sell them for a premium, but we're going to sell so many at a, like, slightly discounted rate that we're going to make this list, kind of. And looking at the rest of the list, like, the Vans Ward is actually a model that I think is either, either like exclusive to like the DSW family, or it's a, or it's one of those shoes that's like it's never going to be in a van store because it's like almost like a takedown model of like an old school. So it's like a slightly lower price point, but you'll, it's like the way Vans is going to reach the kids that don't get to shop, you know, at the mall or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Man, like, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then like the Tangent is the same kind of thing, right? It's like that $60, $70 price point on sale. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting list to me.
I mean, like, my big shocker, and this might not be a shocker for some, but the NMD R1, like, the jaded sneakerheads of the world put that shoe in a grave years ago. But, I mean, I'm sure everybody who listens to this makes sneaker eye contact first, like I do. And I see so many of those shoes from walls of Foot Locker to like entire classes of 14-year-olds, like all every like 5 14-year-olds, and 4 out of 5 of them have a variant of that R1. And I'm just like, I'm just shocked because I don't own any pairs anymore. I think I sold off all 3 I had like when the selling was good. And, but those are one of the most comfortable shoes for the price. Like, I love it. Like, I'm a huge R1 fan. But in my brain, I had a little giggle. I was like, ha, ha, ha. Like, these fools out here saying this, nobody likes this shoe anymore, and this shoe's out here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man. I still got my first pair of, was it the all-white ones that came out with the first release? Yeah. Still sitting in my closet. I'm looking at them right now. It's crazy, man. Like you said, it was one of the shoes that came out. Everyone wanted them, but then they got oversaturated with colorways. But hey, like, look who got the last laugh. Adidas. They're like, you think we're not selling them, but we are.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy too. Like, I mean, that's the same kind of conversation about, you know, the Jordan 9, right? It has to be the Jordan 9. Like, I forget what it was, the pearl blue, right? Like UNC colorway.
And all the boots, like. I'm just like you said, this fool, Mike, what's the name again? The author, Mike?
Matt Powell, yeah.
Matt Powell, like, Matt, he spelled Hirachi wrong. I'm pretty sure he's, like, looking at, like, the Jordan 9 boot and, like.
Wrong, just got blocked.
Yeah, right? Yep. I mean, hammer, fan hammer, down. But it's very, yeah, man, they have to be putting, like, bigger ranges. Like the Air Force One low has to include like flying in Air Force Ones, and like, well, no, that shouldn't have been out last year. So, but you know what I mean? Just like,
yeah,
all the other Air Force One lows.
Well, it's every low. It's not just, cause I know when we say Air Force One low, our brain goes directly to all white. But every time you go into a big box sneaker store, you can literally, there's a wall of Air Force Ones and someone's buying them.
Does anybody see black Air Force Ones and think hoodlum?
I think you have one in no regard for your life.
Yeah,
or anyone
else's.
It has that black aglet, I think the silver aglet on it. And it's like, or black.
It is, like, this list is the perfect way to, like, explain sneakerhead versus non-sneakerhead, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I just think that you've got like the Jordan 6, maybe the Jordan 9, because, you know, there's plenty of people that actually like the Carolina stuff, especially with Jordans. And Air Force One Low could be, you know, like if you think of all the colors or even just the white on whites. But the rest of the stuff, I mean, the Huarache, I mean, they did release a couple of like the OG colorways early in the year, so I guess that makes sense. But the Air Max 270 kind of is crossover, right? It's like a flashy enough shoe for like the average person to see it and go, ooh, I need that. Where like the Tangent is clearly, you know, let me just get a pair of comfortable Nikes. I want the swoosh on a shoe and I don't want to pay money for it. The Jordan 6 rings is clearly that same like Jordan customer that's not really like a retro customer, but wants Jordans and wants something that looks like a Jordan. So I'm sure Robbie had plenty of experience with them when he was working at Foot Locker. But I find it really interesting that Chuck Taylor Ox Low is on there when it's, to me, I, maybe I'm wrong, but to me, like, the regular Chuck Taylor seems to be a bigger seller than any other. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being, like, you know, nostalgic because I love Chuck so much, but I don't...
No, I think it comes down more to what you were saying about, like, the shoes being discounted and just moving the unit. Like, Chucks, I feel like Chucks are like eras. Like, I want a Vans era to be on sale, like just like the black or the checkerboard, but it never is. Because they know they can sell that shoe as is until the end of time for pretty much whatever the market will dictate or allow them to sell it at. Like the Chuck Taylor, same thing. Like the black, the white, you never see those on sale. You'll see like Seafoam green, you'll see banana yellow, but you won't see like the Chuck Taylor that you love.
Yeah. Like black, white, all white. You don't see those on sale too much.
Do you see all black Chuck Taylor and Pink Hoodlum too? Like the black midsole?
100%.
I mean, I have like multiple pairs of those ones. So maybe,
if it fits,
shoe fits, right?
But like, I never trust anybody in all black Chucks. I'll trust you to have like a little bit of white on there. If you have the black on black, you're up to no good.
Another thing that I thought on this list was really interesting is we were talking about the NMDs, right? And they have done like some pretty dope colorways of the NMD R1 lately. But what I find is fascinating, just like quickly pulled it up on Finish Line, and there's 23 men's colorways of the NMD R1 available right now on Finish Line. And there's 13.
And how many are on sale?
It's hard to say, but I mean,
some.
I'm sure some of them
I'm
are.
I'm guessing a good number of them. Yeah.
But a lot of them are like basic colorways that probably they don't really need to even put on sale because like a black and white shoe is going to sell eventually, even if it sits on a shelf for a while. I mean, just looking through the first, so you've got five of them at a regular price of either $130 or $140. You've got, let's see, another...
Couple at $100.
Yeah, you've got another like 10 of them at about $100 or $90, and then you've got another three, four, looks like
79,
6, 80. 7 colorways that are at full price. So there's definitely plenty of them at full price, which I wouldn't expect at this point because that shoe has been around for a really long time. But I also think that's kind of part of the interesting way that Adidas is approaching things where, you know, we look at the Ultra Boost and we're like, okay, yeah, we've seen this enough. Like I have enough pairs. I can't imagine something coming out where I really want another one. But they seem to just keep pushing these same models and new colorways. I mean, this is how bad I am. I'm looking at these colorways thinking like, all right, there's nothing here that really stands out as like, I need this, right? They even have like a very, you know, like the similar to like the OG or the Japan R1s or whatever. But then I get to like the black with the pink lining and I'm like, oh, that kind of looks like a Yeezy shoe. Oh yeah, I like this one a little bit.
Right. But like, I think some of that comes down to like, I have a lot of friends who do not like sneakers. They use it as a utility item, like to protect their feet, and who will not mess with Nike. So like the NMD R1 at the end of the day has very minimal branding. Like if you don't know Adidas, like the three stripes on the midfoot, this looks like three like design choices with like three lines.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You know, when you contrast that to like Nike's swoosh everything, like literally all over swoosh print, and like the Have a Nike Day, like this swoosh is everywhere, branding in every single nook and cranny. So like the NMD like applies, like my friend Phil, who's going to walk into the nearest, like the nearest possible shoe store, which is going to be at the mall, and get like the most simple pair, which is going to be like these black NMDs, and be happy as a clam and just go about his day and buy another pair that he likes them so much 2 years from now. Like,
yeah.
Well, so I think it'd be right. The same could be said for the 270 as well. I'm actually, I went to finish line as well, just to kind of check out the 270s while you guys look at the NMDs. And I didn't realize that the shoe doesn't have super large branding. Like the Nike swooshes on there are pretty small, and you know, you would, unless they're like really looking, you're not going to really notice them that much. So it's one of those, again, it's going to be comfort, utility, and lack of huge branding. So I can see why this one is definitely one of those that will get picked up by a majority of people who may not be into sneakers.
Yeah, I can see that. Another thing in this article I wanted to touch on too was interesting. Basically saying that like the basketball footwear market is down again, sales down by more than 20% in the first quarter of 2019, which I find really interesting that it's down so high considering, you know, first quarter you've got like all-star shoes, you've got NCAA tournament, like there's a lot of basketball stuff going on in that first 3 months of the year. So one of the things that like I find interesting about it is, one, there's huge opportunity in basketball for a company like Puma that we were talking about before we started recording to make moves. And I don't know the numbers, but there was a report. I don't know the numbers on basketball specifically. There was a report that basically that Puma turned out like the, I want to say the best first quarter sales growth ever, right? In Asia and North America. Which is super dope. I mean, maybe that's related to this, unrelated to this, but I think they're playing in a very interesting space, and to see that their lifestyle stuff is pushing forward, they might be able to make a bigger impact on the basketball stuff. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they're doing something different. Like, they're really kind of almost doing a plan, like guerrilla marketing tactic, the way that they push out their product and the way they, you know, show it off. So I think they're trying to relate to the people, as opposed to they know they're not the go-to brand for basketball shoes right now. So they're going like, hey, we're going to hit the ground. We're going to go basically shake hands with people personally and like, hey, try our shoes. Hey, you should try our shoes. Like, they're pushing it very well, and they're pricing it well. Like, that's the big kicker. They're pricing their sneakers very well to where people are willing to try them. And of course, they are using the influencer social media game to their advantage, because they're sending these bad boys out to any well-known, you know, guys out there, girls out there with the channel. And mostly, like, when it comes to, like, if we're talking straight basketball, it comes to, like, wear testing videos, I haven't heard anything negative about the Puma shoes, really. And I mean, they put out a good product, apparently. It looks like they actually took their time and planned that this comeback out to where they would succeed. And I mean, I'm happy for them.
Me too. Like, Kawhi Leonard's wearing a new version of that Kawhi Leonard New Balance. I mean,
yeah.
The name obviously escapes me because I'm not the biggest fan. Oh, the OMN. Ominous name, but those are super clean. And just like Mike was saying, kind of like guerrilla tactics with marketing it, you're not going to see that plastered over Instagram like from New Balance, but you're going to see the shoe. Like, I have the same thoughts as both of you, so I'm not going to say too much. So the last kind of thought I have is, I love the Puma Uproar Spectra. That shoe looks dope. Like,
yeah.
It has all the elements of those really corny Ferrari Pumas, like the racing shoes, in a nice packaging. Like, they're sleek. They look fast. I'm never going to wear a pair still, but they look cool. Like, they're aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. Like, I think they look better than the Court Clyde Disrupt.
Hey, don't sleep on those, man.
No, I like those. They're both like, it's like and like more. But they're just a ditto on all fronts. It's just good stuff right now from the growing competitive marketplace that is basketball shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last thing from this particular article that I thought was interesting, the only brands that they have listed as posting actual gains, Brooks, Fila, Puma, and Vans. So the rest of the brands were down in quarter one, but those are the four brands that actually made some gains compared to last year.
Shout out to those weirdos out there rocking those big-ass Brooks that just have, like, 8 foot of midsole. I'm not hating, but it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, you're walking on those, like, those East Bay used to sell them, those, like, early 2000 basketball shoes that would help your jump. That had, like, the platform built into the front, like, spring-loaded.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're making money and growing, but, like, damn.
Dude, it's a running shoe. Like, people, people are running. They're saying, or at least, you know, they think they're running. And if that was first quarter growth, Brooks is pure running. What happens the first month of the year? Everyone has a New Year's resolution to get healthy. So they all go and buy a pair of Brooks to go run. They may never wear them, but they bought them.
Yeah, you might be right on that.
Like it's a big time for those guys. And Fila, they're doing something that's like, I don't know the name of the shoe because I don't follow Fila. But there's that one like lifestyle shoe that I have that has literally, it's like $60. It's like sells out everywhere in female sizes. It gives you 6 inches of height, looks like, but it literally has been sold out everywhere. And I don't know what to compare the numbers to, maybe from last year, but when that shoe wasn't available, but whatever that shoe is, that's what's pushing their numbers. Like that Fila shoe is literally, every time I go into a sneaker store, Foot Locker, I see someone asking for that shoe.
You're talking about the Disruptor, right?
Thank you. That's the name of it. Yeah. That's the SSS.
Big chunky outsole. Yep. Yeah. I mean, that shoe's everywhere. And again, it's like what, $50-$70 tops, maybe 80 if it's like a fancier version of it. But
yeah, but the key one people want is the all white one.
Yeah.
And it literally sells. There's Urban Outfitters sells it. Your sneaker stores sell it. I think, you know, any other fashion stores sell it. So it's not just in a sneaker shop, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Let's wrap it up because this article is full of, I guess, questionable numbers, but that sounds like I'm totally dissing the whole article. But
well,
I just don't.
Watch again.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry about it, right? Actually, just drop a comment if you're also blocked by Matt Powell. I think it's dope to see this kind of stuff, and I appreciate that what he does you know, giving people insight into this, although it's more probably business oriented than a lot of people care about. I think it's fascinating stuff, and you know, it kind of leads, in my opinion, it leads a lot of the like more editorial content when somebody is out there doing this number crunching type stuff. So I definitely appreciate it. Go ahead.
I just had one before we leave this topic. I just want to plant a little seed. I did notice reading it. It looked like he said skate was up. So I don't know if that has anything to do with Jordan SB, but we'll let the listeners decide about that.
Ah, interesting.
Or not, I'm sorry, Nike SB. I can't even speak right. Yeah, Nike SB. But he said skate was up a little bit. So I just want to leave that up to the listeners. Is it Nike SB coming back? Or you guys let us know in the comments.
Either.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, we're going to get into like some picks of the week. It's not really a pick of the week though, cause we do two shows. So, it's just the pick of the show. And, I'm going to just go first. Usually I toss it to you guys, but since I already basically profess my love for the Jordan 4, bread or Black Cement or playoffs or whatever you call it, I'm gonna actually not pick that shoe, but I hope all of you that want a pair actually get it this weekend. And I'm going to go with the Air Max 1 Swiper.
That's a good one. It's a very good one.
I mean, I just think there needs to be more basketball players getting signature lifestyle shoes, or at least like customized, kind of like this one is, where, you know, and being a Kings fan, I'm like default fan of the shoe anyway. But what do you guys got going on this week? What are you looking at?
Well, once I say this, I'm just going to wait for all the hate mail to come. But I am a fan of these mismatched Jumpman Pros that are coming out in the black and UNC and red and Bulls color. So just a nostalgic shoe for me. I had it when I was a kid. And I think it's cool to kind of spice them up a bit with this kind of mismatched pair, something different, something cool for these. So hate me if you must, but these are my pick.
Any hater out there, it's just a confused fan about that shoe.
Boom.
Okay. And so I'm gonna forego my pick and just touch on something Dwight Howard said like 10 minutes ago. He said, everything Jordan did, Kobe did better. And I'm gonna leave it at that for the end of this episode. He's not wrong. Dwight Howard is awful and I don't like him, but I love him right now.
That took a turn.
Yeah, so you know, we hate to be the bearer of bad news, but apparently we're gonna be today. I mean, I don't even remember what team Dwight Howard plays for anymore. That's how much he moves around. So how
I think he's with the Wizards.
Oh, that's right, you're right. Wizards
clock twice a day, I'm just saying.
All right, so let's just ask and see what happens. Kobe or Jordan? Hit us up.
Know.
Let us know what you think. I think
Ginobili. Just kidding.
Nah, that's a whole debate. We should actually have that debate at some point, but we've taken way too much of people's time today to get into that. But shout out to Dwight Howard and for you know, forcing Robbie to forego his pick.
You felt wrong just saying that shout out to Dwight Howard, didn't you?
I did.
That hurt everybody. What are you talking about?
I feel dirty now. We got to turn the mic off.
Yeah, we might have to edit this out.
We're done here. We're done.
Oh, but no, really, thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. And my name is Nick Engvall. You can find me at Nick Engvall on all the platforms and at Sneaker History on all the platforms. Guys, let them know how they can find you.
Yeah, you guys can find me praying for the Rockets this week. But besides that, find me at Sneaker History. You guys can find me at Instagram, Twitter under MadWatcher789, which is my Wu-Tang name. Robbie, where can they find you?
You can find me underneath my Wu-Tang name, which is Babyface Chief. you really can't find me there. You can find me wearing a pair of Dwight Howard 4s from Adidas. On the internet. I'm just getting more convoluted. You can legit find me on the internet underneath Robbie702, and I hope everybody has a splendid night.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.